I want winners.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and 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 running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect. You lose your inhibition, follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break away from tradition. Cause when we be out, girl, it's pulling me down. You wouldn't believe how we wow shit out. Burn it till it's burned out, turn it till it's turned out. Act up from Northwest East Side.
Everybody here, everybody here. Let's get into it, yeah. Get stoked.
Come on,
get it started.
Come on,
get it started.
Welcome once again, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is. You know who's talking to you. If you don't, I'll tell you. This is JT, A.T.A., the Master. This is the Master Plan. And just like I opened up with, let's get this thing started. It started on Thursday, but the main games are on tap for today. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8:30, and then two Monday night games. Let's get it started talking about football. It's finally here, the first week, opening week of weekend of football. I hope you're pumped up as much as I am. I'm trying to catch my breath because I'm really psyched because I love football, and this is my time of year. Fantasy football is also on the going right now. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. I'm excited about jumping in here and talking about some fantasy football. I'm going to go run down all the games from 1 o'clock until 8 o'clock, all the games for today, including the two games for tomorrow, since I'm not on tomorrow. And I'm really excited. We also have a chat room. The chat room is open. You got to ask a question, put a comment in there, I'll make a statement. You can do that in the chat room because I'm going to answer everything I can possibly answer on here. Like I said, the phone lines are open. If you got a question, run it. I'm going to do my best to help you win your fantasy inaugural week this season. And hopefully throughout the season I can help you get to that playoff push and also get to that champion, that coveted cup, that coveted payroll, payday, I should say, depending on what type of league you're in. But without further ado, let's get into this right away. But before I do that, I do have a caller on the line. Let me bring this caller in. I think I know who it is, but let me bring this caller in and find out what he has to say. Don't do this to me, Board. Don't do this to me, Board. Caller from the 202, welcome to the FSP, excuse me, welcome to the Master Plan. What you got to say, my man?
There's got to be some excitement in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Football
ladies and gentlemen, for those who do not know, this is Slick Rick. He happens to be in several leagues and happens to be one of the commissioners of one of the leagues I'm in. Very good fantasy player. He won at least one championship last year, and he's not afraid to let you know about it. I guess he's up there early this morning, and he's pumped up also because this is first week of real football, college and in pros. So talk to me, Rick. What do you got going, man?
I'm ready as you are. Just trying to get ready for this this season. Peyton started it out Thursday night with he set the bar Thursday night, so I'm real excited now. just because he did that. But I'm just like you, just like everybody else out there, getting ready for the season, see what's in store.
Let me tell you something, man. All these primetime, not even primetime quarterbacks, all these quarterbacks, all the other 30 quarterbacks that were watching that game between the Ravens and the Broncos had to say, wow, from the performance of Peyton Manning, and say, you know, how can I live up to that? And, you know, the bigger the quarterback, the bigger the ego. So you got to think that Drew Brees wants to come out smoking. Matt Ryan wants to come out smoking. Tom Brady wants to come out smoking. Aaron Rodgers wants to come out smoking. That's just to name a few. So if any of you happen to have one of those quarterbacks, I think for the most part, all those quarterbacks I named are in ideal situations, with exception maybe Aaron Rodgers, but Drew Brees and Matt Ryan are going against each other. That's going to be a shootout. Tom Brady is going against the Buffalo Bills, and that's like a whipping boy to Tom Brady. The only difficult one of these five I named, or four I named, was Aaron Rodgers. He happens to be going against the San Francisco 49ers. But he is Aaron Rodgers, so I think he's going to get his own. Maybe not as much as if he was going against any other team but the 49ers, but I think he's going to get his own. It still remains to be seen, but that's got some prime time, crazy good games on the first week of the NFL season. And I want to get it started right away with the first 1 o'clock game. And it happens to be on the one quarterback, or one of the quarterbacks I was talking about. It happens to be the Patriots versus the Bills. Now, everybody knows Tom Brady, when he shows up, can put up big numbers, but he's going to have to do it with some young receivers. Gronk is not there. Aaron Hernandez is never going to be back there. Wes Welker, unless something happens in the next few years and they have a change of heart and get Wes Welker back before his time is up in the NFL, he's over in Peyton and loving it with his two touchdowns and over 100 yards. He's not complaining. But Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are in a new era. They lost a lot of their firepower, but I think because they have that man, Tom Brady, look for a guy in a tight end position, pretty athletic, big, tall, strong, strapping young man, rookie, Zach Sudfeld. He's going to be getting a lot of targets for Tom Brady in place of Rob Gronkowski because he's out. He probably won't be back. Maybe he could be back next week. Or he could be more than likely he would be back probably the end of the month, I would say. You know, to be on the safe side, I don't know if they want to push him and get him back the third week. I don't think he's going to be back the first 2 weeks. I'm thinking he won't be back until the end of the month. And before I go any further, in one of our leagues, Rick, in Vic's league, in Yahoo, I don't know if you check this thing out. But Rob Gronkowski happened to be on the waiver wire.
I didn't know that.
He happened to be on the waiver wire, and and he got picked up off the waiver wire. And you know, Vic puts a you have to pay for whoever you want to take off the waiver wire.
Right.
And we have $100 that we can use for the rest of the season. That's the limit. You can't go over 100. Rob Gronkowski, from one of our astute members, went for $51.
Ooh. You might as well have drafted the guy.
$51. Now, I put in a bid, but that was nowhere close to what I put in. And this, when I saw the amount of money, I don't know if you should have got the email, because I sent the message when I put a message in the message board. I think it gets sent to everybody in the league. And only three words I said was "Wow, Gronk for 51." I'm like, wow. He just paid over half his $100 for Rob Gronkowski.
And you know what? I'm looking at it now, and this guy that picked him up, you know, he's played in the league with us for a while now, and he's definitely an aggressive dude when it comes to these Yahoo fantasy ones. He makes a lot of aggressive moves on Yahoo, and don't get me wrong, he does get to the playoffs. He's almost like Vic, you know, always a bridesmaid, never a bride, or but he makes some aggressive moves, and it definitely, I guess, between him and Jared Cook, because that's his other tight end, that's
right.
Probably going to be a good move for him. But at 51, yeah, he should have just drafted him. I hate spending my budget that fast, you know.
Wow, I mean, I put a good bid in for him, but it wasn't anywhere close to that. I would never, ever, first game out of the chute, and spend over half of your $100. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I understand if you draft a well, you may not be picking too many players off the waiver wire, but
right. But
you never know. I mean, and you think Gronkowski, in my opinion, worth $51?
Wow.
That's all I could say, man. When I saw that, I said, wow. Anyway, for those who don't know, Rob Gronkowski is out. Aaron Dobson on the New England Patriots is out. So Tom Brady has new toys, and he's going to be using those new toys. I'm talking about Danny Amendola and a rookie, an undrafted rookie, who's been rising on the scene and probably going to show out, in my opinion, Kembrell Tompkins. Those two guys, if you don't have, well, I'm pretty sure Danny Amendola has been drafted a lot. And any astute fantasy player had to be known about Kembrell Thompson throughout the preseason and him rising up on the wide receiver rankings. So you should at least have him on your board. Now, I do have him at least in one of my leagues in my starting lineup because I think Tom Brady is going to want to show out on his new toys. They're also going to be able to run the ball with Stephen Ridley. So Buffalo is not a good running defense, so Stephen Ridley is going to get a lot of work. And also Shane Vereen is going to be taking over that position that Danny Woodhead had in catching the ball quite a bit. So Vereen is definitely a flex play. Stephen Ridley, in my opinion, is a RB1 without a doubt. Danny Amendola is probably an RB, a wide receiver 2 in this game. And if you go down 3 or 4 wide receivers, then you can put Kembrell Tompkins in there. I got Tompkins in there as my wide receiver 2 right now because I think he's going to he's a long ball threat like Brandon Lloyd used to be. So I think he's going to show out and do quite a bit for the Patriots against the Buffalo Bills. On the other side, EJ Manuel, a rookie quarterback. Now I'm thinking, and I drafted EJ on a couple of teams as my second quarterback, because I'm gonna wait and see. I think this is deja vu all over again. A few years back, they had a quarterback coming out, big strapping quarterback that wasn't a spread offensive type of environment. Didn't think that he was going to do too much, and he lit up New England, and he lit up the whole NFL with his running and his passing. I'm talking about Cam Newton. Well, I'm not saying EJ Manuel is Cam Newton, but what I'm saying is I think the deja vu is the opinion and the of what they think of EJ Manuel. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think he's going to, even though he hasn't practiced, so he may not do it this week against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, but I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, and maybe, in fact, some people next week are going to be running to the waiver wire trying to grab him, at least put him on the bench for their backup quarterback. Maybe in some big leagues, some large leagues, they get him for the main quarterback, depending on what the quarterback list is for in that league. We also have another caller. He happens to be running one of our leagues, two of our leagues, if I'm not mistaken. He happens to be in a few of another leagues with me and Rick. Happens to be Mr. FSP, Mr. Vic Gardner. How you doing there, Victor?
I'm good. I got you on speaker because I'm walking outside. I'm headed to go get a haircut. I hear you talking about Mr. Manuel,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to say this. I want to say this to everybody listening, and I said it on all of our other shows. The Patriots are going to lose this game. E.J. Manuel is going to throw his butt. This is what I'm telling you. You made those comparisons to Cam Newton. I agree. I agree 110%. The only difference is Cam didn't have a running game. EJ does.
Yeah.
Cam also had one receiver. EJ has two and a half. Because you can split Fred Jackson out, and he can become a receiver as well. I'm telling you, the turmoil and stuff in New England is going to catch up to him, and it's all over. The Bills win. The Bills win. And one more thing, I don't know if you covered it already, but all you Roddy White owners, you might want to get Harry Douglas or somebody else today. Looks like Mr. White might miss the game. Just putting it out there.
Okay. Well, like I said, I was talking on the Buffalo Bills side, and one of the new toys that E.J. Manuel has, and I think they were getting to have a pretty good rapport before E.J. got hurt, is another rookie. Now, I'm telling you guys to look out for this guy because Stevie Johnson needs if Stevie Johnson is Batman in the wide receivers, then this other guy, Robert Woods, would be the Robin on the other side.
Yep.
And they need options other than C.J. Spiller and Stevie Johnson. And Robert Woods, I know he's a rookie wide receiver, but rookies are starting to show out, okay? They're putting these guys in position to be able to perform. So if you're a rookie and you are in the starting lineup, the coaching staff must think a lot of you. Most rookies don't really start unless they really have something going for them. And this Robert Woods is no joke, okay? So look for E.J. Manuel to have, besides C.J. Spiller and a quick dump ball passes, looking for Stevie Johnson, who's going to garner a lot of coverage, and Stevie Johnson usually has good games against the Patriots, but look for Robert Woods in that wide receiver three spot, because I think he's going to have not a breakout game, but I think he's going to have a pretty decent game. Now I'm going to turn this over to Ricky or whoever wants to jump in and have anything to say about this Patriot Bill game.
Well,
anyone you got?
I was going to say what Vic said, but at the same time, I just keep thinking about the fact that this is New England. You know, I mean, I could jump out there and say they'll lose this game, but the way that New England is shaped right now, Brady has a young Amendola. I mean, not NFL years, but just it's a younger version of Wes Welker to me. You have a much younger version of when he had Randy Moss going deep that whole 17-0 year, or 16-0 year, I'm sorry. So I can't really I'm not going to say that New England's going to blow them out. I think New England's going to win the game, especially because of Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley. But it's not going to be easy for them. It's definitely not going to be easy because Buffalo, I think Buffalo is much improved. Everything it does hinge on E.J. Manuel. But Buffalo's defense, when they went and got Jarius Byrd to come in, that's what really helps them.
I don't think Jarius Byrd is playing, and Mario Williams is dealing with plantar fasciitis. So.
Oh, so neither one of them are playing?
Well, Mario Williams, Jarius Byrd is definitely not playing. Mario Williams, he may be limited, but he's dealing with plantar fasciitis. I do know that.
Well, it's not, I still don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think New England's going to win the game, but I just don't. I'm not looking at a blowout. It's going to be a good game, though, because everybody wants to see what E.J. Manuel does. And then, like Vic said, you got Spiller. You can split Spiller out. You can split Fred Jackson out. Stevie is, I think Stevie finally has a quarterback that's going to definitely get him the ball. So it's going to be a good game, but New England's going to win it. I just feel like they're going to win that game.
Vic.
I'm going to step outside real quick because I'm in the barber shop right now. Here's the deal, guys. You can say all that other good stuff. Darius Bird isn't playing. Their cornerback, their starting cornerback isn't playing, but it won't make a difference. The reason why I say that is because Danny Amendola is the only proven receiver that they have. And, well, other than Julian Edelman. And he might be a good play today because he's that Wes Welker type of player. And Brady's going to throw to somebody he can trust. Right now he can't trust the rookie. He can try. He can try. But Buffalo has one of the best secondaries in the NFL without Jarius Byrd. So the only thing I can tell you is this game is going to shock a lot of people. Everybody that thinks that Buffalo is going to get walked over, they're wrong. They're wrong. It's just not going to happen. So
okay.
That's my two cents.
Okay, let's move on to another 1 o'clock game, the Cincinnati Bengals against the Chicago Bears, with both these teams in a highly anticipated opening day and high expectations for both of them. One quarterback's in a contract year. The other team is some people say that they're potentially a Super Bowl attendee. I have to beg to differ on both of these accounts that Jay Cutler really doesn't care about playing for a contract, and that the Cincinnati Bengals, though much improved, a young team, they're going up against a very good Chicago defense, regardless if Brian Urlacher is there or not, regardless if Lovie Smith is there or not. Andy Dalton, historically, and I just found this out, historically, doesn't play well against good defenses. And he's not going to play well here against in Chicago, in the Chicago opener. I think they're going to be relying on Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and especially their rookie Giovanni Bernard, and looking to get the ball to A.J. Green. Well, guess what? You don't think the Chicago Bears don't know that? A.J. Green is a beast, okay? He's more likely going to get his own because he's going to get enough targets to get his own. Probably at least one touchdown, probably about 6 or 7 catches, close to 80 yards. But on the other side of that, Jay Cutler loves to throw to his big boy, Brandon Marshall. Everyone thought that when he was had a hard time with his hip that was going to be a concern. I said, it's not going to be a concern. And it's not now. Brandon Marshall's ready to go. He's going to get his 8 or 9 catches like he always did, close to 100 yards, and he's definitely going to get into the end zone. This is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, in my opinion, because both these two teams are pretty hard-nosed, and it's probably going to go down to the wire. I love the Bears in this game, I think it's going to be close. And like I said, the two teams, the two players I have here. Oh, and I'm sorry for neglecting Matt Forte and the goal line vulture and Michael Bush. So Matt Forte, you got to play him because Mark Trestman's offense is definitely one of the offenses that showcases the running back either running the ball or getting dump off passes to the ball. That's the type of West Coast offense. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands as quick as possible. Chicago has reinforced their offensive line, so I think they're going to be playing a lot better. That's including Jay Cutler. Talk to me, Ricky.
You know what? I'm looking at this game like this is going to be just like the one we kind of witnessed on Thursday night. But I'm not saying as far as the scoring and stuff like that. I'm just talking about as far as how poorly, talking about as far as how poorly the defense played as far as the Ravens. Now, Ray Lewis is gone, so of course T. Sizzle was supposed to be the man. In Chicago, there's no Urlacher. So the guy in the middle is Bostic and DJ Williams, and I don't think DJ, I don't know if DJ is going to play or not, but both of those two guys are supposed to be the ones manning up the middle, and it's like you're finding a new leader. So the leader here is supposed to be Lance Briggs. I don't think Lance Briggs is going to be able to keep that team motivated. To me, this is a new defense. You know, it's the same scheme, but there's new leadership. So I'm really looking for Cincinnati to whoop the hell out of these guys. Because Cutler has been a disappointment. You know, he gets to the championship game, the NFC championship, loses. He has all these high expectations when he comes over from Denver, and he really hasn't produced like they wanted him to. So I'm looking for Cincinnati to just solidly handle these boys, regardless of the running game. They don't have anybody that can, you know, Peanut Tillman, he's getting older now. He's not going to be able to handle A.J. Green. You got Mohamed Sanu out there who's up and coming. I really like Sanu. I'm not going to pick him up yet because I want to see what he does, but I think Cincinnati's going to handle this game hands down.
Well, I think the key is the quarterbacks, and if I had my druthers, I would rather take Jay Cutler over Andy Dalton, because I think, like I said before, Jay Cutler plays better. Not that he plays that much better, but he plays better against better defenses than Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton seems like the better the defense, the worse he plays. So, and Jay Cutler, in my opinion, is fearless. So I would rather have Jay Cutler and playing in Chicago, in a Chicago opener, with a basically, I wouldn't say a brand new team, but a brand new outlook on the team in Chicago. I think they want to put on a good show, and I think they're going to pull out a game against Cincinnati. I know that the flavor of the month, or one of the flavors of the month, is Cincinnati. A lot of people are high on them. They're still a young team, and I still think that Andy Dalton is still – still has things to prove, and he may get exposed in his game against Chicago. Let's go move on to another 1 o'clock game. We're going to be going into the Ohio area. Okay, going to go to the Miami Dolphins against the Cleveland Browns. Both these teams are looking very optimistic, I should say. Let me put it that way. Made some. Strides either in made some improvements either in coaching or in players. Miami quite naturally picked up a wide receiver from Pittsburgh, signed him to a big contract, Mike Wallace, and they're looking to re-sign Reggie Bush. They felt that Lamar Miller is going to be their solution in the running game. So I'm looking for Lamar Miller to I don't think he gets into the end zone, unfortunately. This is probably going to be another one of these games that's going to be close, and I'm going to be going to the home team on this, the Cleveland Browns, because I think the quarterbacks between the two, I think the offensive coordinator and a combination of the offensive coordinator and the quarterback – and the skill positions of the Cleveland Browns happen to be better than the combination of the offensive coordinator, the quarterback, and the skill positions of the Miami Dolphins. The reason I'm saying that, I think Brandon Whedon is going to flourish under the tutelage of one of the best offensive coordinators. Maybe not one of the best coaches, head coaches, but one of the best offensive coordinator minds in all of football, and that's Norvell Turner. It's been documented over several shows that I do not like Norvell Turner as a head coach, but he's a hell of an offensive coordinator, and I think the combination of Brandon Whedon, Jordan Cameron, and Greg Little, and then after two games suspension served, Josh Gordon coming back, along with Trent Richardson, that this team is going to be a team to be reckoned with, because their defense wasn't that bad. The problem with the this team has been with the offense and effectively the play of the quarterback. So I think Trent Richardson is definitely going to get into the end zone. Running backs always flourish in the North Turner directed offense, and along with the young athletic tight end as in Jordan Cameron. It's going to be a close game, but I think the combination of those players I named on Cleveland and the shortcomings that Ryan Tannehill may have playing against this Cleveland defense, they're going to run the ball with Lamar Miller. I like Lamar Miller in this game. I think you should play him. He's an RB2, in my opinion, in this game. I have a hard time. If you're in a PPR, then you play Brian Hartline as a wide receiver 3. That's all I can say about that. What Mike Wallace is a 9-route runner. He doesn't run that much over the middle. I have a hard time thinking Mike Wallace is going to do too much against that very good Cleveland secondary. So if you have Mike Wallace, you probably drafted him fairly high, but don't have any good expectations from him, especially against this secondary of Cleveland. Talk to me, Ricky.
One thing I will say, Miami, which is a team that I do have a liking to, they messed up. They shouldn't have let Reggie Bush go.
Right.
And I say that because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Reggie Bush lover, but I like Reggie Bush because he brings so much versatility to the table. He's like C.J. Spiller. You can split him out wide. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him in a slot. He has that much versatility. And if you paid attention to him last year, his versatility came out. That's when Miami started clicking at the end of last year with Reggie Bush. It really messed me up when they let him go. And I don't feel as though now they really have anything. You know, just like you say, Wallace is a 9-route runner. Dustin Keller out for the season with that tore up knee. So You have nobody replacing these guys. You got Lamar Miller. Miller's got some promise, but he's young. He's not seasoned yet. So he's one to watch. As far as Cleveland goes, their defense is ridiculously hard hitting. They're ridiculously hard hitting. That secondary can be the best one in the league. You got Joe Hayden back there helping them out. You just have so much promise in Cleveland. And like you say, I don't like Norvell either. But this could be his comeback year because he's back in his original position with the offensive coordinator.
Right.
And he had the best thing he's ever had since Emmitt Smith in a running back in Trent Richardson. It's ridiculous. Brandon Whedon, he's like a 2-year veteran. He was the oldest rookie last year, but he's perfect for North's system because he's not going to give you the big play mess ups. He's gonna take his shots when he needs to take his shots. Cameron, that's Jay Novacek all the way. We know it. Other than that, though, I'm really not particular on their receivers because Josh Morgan, he's good. Don't get me wrong, he's good. But this is year 2 now, so we have to see what he's going to do, especially in North's system and how North's going to use him after that suspension is up. But I'm looking for Cleveland to really handle Miami. Not a blowout, but it's definitely going to be a double-digit loss for Miami.
I really believe that. I mean, You just look at the skill positions. You look at the coaching and the skill positions. Right there, it tells me that Miami shouldn't be able to compete. Shouldn't be able to compete. And because the fact is that they don't, the skill level is just not comparable to Cleveland's. So
that's right.
So anyway, let's move on to another 1 o'clock game. And this, people, if you have one or two players in this game, unless it's something catastrophic happens. Unless the roof of the dome falls in on all these players, you're going to have fantasy goodness throughout this game. whether it's quarterback, whether it's running back, whether it's wide receivers, and even the tight end in this game, is going to... I'm talking about the Atlanta Falcons against the New Orleans Saints down in the Big Easy. Matt Ryan, Steven Johnson, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez. That is a murderer's row of fantasy skill positions. Murderer's row right there. And the wild card in here, the one that it's going to be greatly beneficial for the Atlanta Falcons because they were really hampered by their running position. Even though Michael Turner last year had 10 touchdowns, Michael Turner, as limited as he is, he's only a runner. He can't catch the ball out of the backfield. He had 10 touchdowns last year. I'm saying to this, Steven Jackson can catch the ball and can run the ball. He's one of the best runners in all of football. And now he's on a team that's got an offense, a high-powered offense. So, in my opinion, he's going to at least get 5 more touchdowns than Michael Turner did last year. I'm saying Steven Jackson's going to get about 15 touchdowns. So if you got Steven Jackson in this game against one of the worst defenses, in fact, it was the worst defense, New Orleans I'm talking about, Steven Jackson should have a very good day, especially opening up the offense because of his 2 wide receivers on the outside and including the tight end, Tony Gonzalez. Steven Jackson should have room to move, room to run, and also catch the ball out of the backfield. I can't say enough about the amount of points I think is going to be scored in this game because on the other side you got Drew Brees, you got Marcus Colston, you got Jimmy Graham. Don't leave out Lance Moore because Lance Moore can blow up because of the way Drew Brees distributes the ball. And also in a PPR, you got one of the most dynamic PPR running backs in all of football in Darren Sproles, and Drew Brees takes full advantage of that. So if you have any or a couple pieces of either of these teams, look for solid production out of all of them. I can't discount any of them. All I can say is this. There's one guy on here that may not be the most celebrated or most talked about guy. He happens to be a young kid. I think he's first year. In fact, I know he's a first year. Kenny Stills. He's a wide receiver. He's the third wide receiver in the tree of the New Orleans Saints. He's probably going to take the position of what Robert Meacham or I can't think of his name, Devery Henderson. The long ball type of guys, because this guy, it's got some quicks to him. He may rise up on the scene. He may catch a touchdown, maybe even 2. You never know because Drew Brees spreads the ball around. But look for Kenny Stills and see what he may do in this offense. And if for some godforsaken reason after this game or during the season, Lance Moore goes down, Kenny Stills, stock is going to rise tremendously. Ricky, talk to me.
Hey, I'm hoping that Lance Moore prediction you just put out there does not come true because I told you on the Saturday show, Lance Moore, this is going to be his year right here. I think him being a number 2, I really think that he's going to do his thing this year. He's going to really show out. The fact that they did go back and pick Robert Meacham up, it scares me. But at the same time, you know, it's a good pickup for New Orleans because they need it. You know, Kenny Stills, I do have high hopes for him. It's a wait-and-see game with him, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's preseason
mm-hmm.
and regular season are 2 different things. But that guy's good. He's definitely good. I beg to differ a little bit on that defense. New Orleans' defense was the worst last year by far, the worst. But the 2 things they did, they went and got Rob Ryan, which was absolutely good for them. That's brilliant. The other thing, they now have a scheme where they look like they did when they went to the Super Bowl. They're coming from everywhere again. So that's one thing that Rob Ryan does bring to the table. I don't think they're going to beat Atlanta. I mean, regardless of what Vic says about Roddy White, this man hasn't missed a game in his 8 years in. I think it's 7 or 8 years he's been in the league. He hasn't missed a game. I don't really see him missing this one regardless of the ankle. You know, they did say it's a high ankle sprain, but Roddy White's a tough guy. I think he'll be in there. He may be limited, but he'll be in there. And I definitely love the fact that they have Steven Jackson. That right there may just take them to the Super Bowl, just like a lot of people have been saying for the past 2 years. That may be their key right there, Steven Jackson. You got it. I hope everybody in fantasy has at least one person from one of these teams. Because like you said, this is a gold mine game right here. Drew Brees, Matt Ryan. Roddy White, Julio Jones, Jimmy Graham, both tight ends, Marcus Colston, Lance Moore. Oh my goodness, it's ridiculous. You have too much money in this game right here. You have to have at least one person.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you. I mean, that you know that in my opinion, this is must see TV. If you're able to watch this game from start to finish, you're going to see how offense is supposed to be played from both these teams because they're going to be you have to think about it. Both these teams have prolific offenses. Both these teams have high hopes and high expectations. Sean Payton, first game back from being suspended for a year, and he goes against their most heated rival in Atlanta Falcons in their home stadium. You don't think both these teams are going to be pumped up for this opening game?
Yeah.
Must-see TV. What's that?
The one picture that's framed in my mind is the picture that they had of Sean. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people did when they did the it wasn't like a documentary, but they did a piece on it as far as Sean Payton's impact on the team. And this was last season. And they said when they first walked in the practice stadium, the first thing you seen was that poster of Sean Payton's face and the look of intensity that he had on his face. I expect to see that look all day.
Yep.
All day today. You know, I think Atlanta's probably going to win the game, but this is going to be that type of game where Sean Payton is going to be – he's going to put his name back on that map.
No doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. All right, we're going to another 1 o'clock game, and we're going to fantasy goodness to who don't you put on your fantasy roster in this game. I'm talking about we're going to go to MetLife Stadium in New Jersey with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers up against the New York / New Jersey Jets. Where the former captain and quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got stripped or got denied being a captain for this season. I don't know if you knew this or not. Josh Freeman is no longer a captain on the team. It's very rare. It is extremely rare, especially if he's a quarterback, and he's a captain of the team that the following season, unless he's done something horrific and been a total waste of human air, that you get stripped of your captaincy, and it goes to someone else. And that just goes to show you how much faith these guys have in Josh Freeman, what they think of Josh Freeman, and not giving him the captaincy again. I don't know how he succeeds. The only way he succeeds, let me put it away, in this game, is going against the Jets. The Jets have a good defense, but I think they're going to be giving the ball to Doug Martin a lot. I see Doug Martin having a very good day on here. You definitely start Doug Martin. There's no two ways about it. I think Vincent Jackson, even though Cromartie may be on Vincent Jackson, I still think he can get the best of him. This Jet defense especially in the secondary, ain't the same without Darrelle Revis. And he happens to be on the other side of the ball playing Tampa Bay. I'm telling you, people, when I was telling you earlier when I first come on this program, this is a hell of a weekend, opening day, and teams matching up. This is unbelievable that you would have, and it's very ironic, that the New York Jets playing home, their first game, the home opener, goes up against their Pro Bowl cornerback, the former Pro Bowl cornerback, who's playing on another team. And the fact is the Jets are starting a rookie quarterback at that. And that rookie quarterback had the nerve to say on camera he didn't see the need to study Darrelle Revis going into this game. Now, I don't know if he said that just to be on the funny side. I don't know if he said that as a joke. But Darrelle Revis, when he heard about that, said, well, I've been studying Geno Smith. You can believe that. So, you know, I don't know. This kid, rookie, I want Geno Smith to succeed. But I think he came to the wrong organization because this organization is very dysfunctional. And I think he's going to have a hard time being able to succeed because he doesn't have any weapons. He's got Chris Ivory, and he's going up against the Tampa Bay best run defense last year. I know this is a different year, but Graciano's a defensive-minded coach. One of the things he wants to stop first is the running back and put it all on the quarterback to move the team. The opposing quarterback to run the team, and I don't think that's going to happen. The Jets, with Marty Morningway, is going to try to limit the mistakes of Geno Smith by short, quick passes, get it out of his hand. He doesn't have any weapons. Santonio Holmes is supposed to play in this game. He's going to be limited because he's coming back from a foot injury. He doesn't have any weapons. No weapons. So even though I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think the Jets lose this, or the Tampa Bay wins this comfortably. You play Doug Martin, you play Vincent Jackson, and you play Mike Williams, because even if Vincent Jackson is somewhat limited by Dominic Cromartie, Mike Williams is a very good wide receiver, too, on the Tampa Bay. So I like those three players, and I like nothing on the Jets. Talk to me, Rick.
Well, Tampa Bay is my defense of the year right now. I'm letting you know. I feel as though they did great by going to get Darrelle Revis and believing that this guy is going to definitely shore that secondary up. They basically just went out and got somebody that took the place of Aqib Talib when they lost him. So,
right.
Needed that. They definitely needed that. Like you say, the Jets right now, they're really just in a bad place. And I don't see Rex Ryan lasting past or even all the way through this season. I'm thinking Rex Ryan is going to be gone by. I'm going to give him till half the season. I got to give him that. But I don't see them doing too much of anything this year. Same thing for your boy Freeman. I've never seen that in my days of playing ball. Anybody gets stripped of their captaincy, and it's bad when you do. But when you're a quarterback and you get stripped, that really tells you. Just like you said, it tells you your team isn't behind you as much. You have to do something dramatic to let them know, hey, I'm here. And I don't think that he's going to be there next year for some reason, unless he just happens to get them, and I know I'm stretching it, if he gets them to the NFC championship or something, if he gets them that far, maybe he'll be there for a couple more years, but I can't see it. I think the Bucs win this game very comfortably, like you say, maybe it's double digit, like 10, 13 points or something, but this is going to be a good game. If you got a sleeper pick in here, it would be, in my eyes, well, you know, never mind. Don't even pick nobody from this game. Just watch the game. Don't pick nobody from this game. The Bucs defense, that's it. That'll be a good pick, the Bucs defense.
Right.
They're going to really handle them.
Right, and I should say this. One of the keys to being able to win fantasy week to week. Now you pick your skill players, and a lot of people I know they throw in these defenses. But if you're an astute fantasy player, and you're going up against teams like that are mistake prone or have a young quarterback, Tampa Bay is one of these. Because Tampa Bay, basically any team that goes against the Jets, if it has a decent defense, because the Jets quarterback, regardless if it's Mark Sanchez or this rookie, are going to have a tendency to turn the ball over. And so you can gain fantasy points, and plus the fact that interceptions or even sacks are going to come in abundance because of the quarterback play of maybe the Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots are one of the most opportunistic defenses in the league last year in fantasy. New England Patriots are going up against this week. They're going up against the Buffalo Bills. Next week they're going up against the New York Jets. So
yeah.
I've grabbed the New England Patriots in a few of my leagues, just especially for the first 2 weeks, because they're going up against the inferior offenses with either a rookie quarterback or a mistake-prone quarterback. So just think about those things, along with getting skill players that you want at whatever position that your defenses can absolutely make up for maybe your lack of a good skill player that you have in your roster, especially your starting roster. Anyway, let's move on to another 1 o'clock game. Tennessee happens to visit Pittsburgh, and they revamped I wouldn't say revamped, but they turned over their running back. They lost their wide receiver. I absolutely love, and I've been talking about this kid for this is probably the third season I've been talking about this. If not, I've been talking about Antonio Brown and his emergence in this offense of Pittsburgh. Well, they re-signed Antonio Brown last year, and this year in the offseason, Mike Wallace wasn't re-signed, and he moved on to Miami. So guess who is the number one receiver now? Antonio Brown. In a Todd Haley type of offense, I absolutely love Todd Haley in this offense. I think he's going to flourish in this offense, along with Emmanuel Sanders. Antonio Brown is the key guy here. I don't really like the running back in Isaac Redman. I think he's just holding down the fort until Le'Veon Bell gets healed up. Possibly he may be showing up, Le'Veon Bell I'm talking about, in the second week. I would be more confident in him if he waited to the third week to come back rather than supposedly rush back in the second week. So I'm thinking Le'Veon Bell is a couple weeks away. So Isaac Redman is going to be starting, and I'm not really good up on Isaac Redman. Don't like him that much. I think they're going to rely more on the passing games against the Tennessee Titans. So I like those two guys. Along in the other side of the ball, Chris Johnson is probably the only play I would play in here. I don't like the quarterback, and since I don't like the quarterback, I really don't like the wide receivers because the fact is, the quarterback's a very inaccurate quarterback, and he is very mistake prone. So, Rick, talk to me. I'm trying to get Vic back in here, and for some reason I'm having problems. Talk to me, Rick.
Well, I have to beg to differ on a couple of points. I really think that, and I know we're just like we said, we're in a number of leagues together. So, you know, I think that this is going to be a good year for Chris Johnson for some reason. They revamped that line, which is great for them. yes, Jake Locker is somewhat inaccurate, but the quarterback that they had there before was also inaccurate. And a lot of people may disagree with me about Mr. Hasselbeck, but he was. He wasn't that accurate. He just made plays. And I feel as though Jake Locker is that type of guy that can make plays. So when you have your full core of receivers, which would be Kenny Britt, Kendall Wright, the young guy Damian Williams, you got Chris Johnson back there taking a little pressure off, and you have the tight ends, they're going to be a special team this year. I don't think that they're going to make a whole lot of noise, but they're definitely going to they're going to be better than what a lot of people are thinking. And I think it's because of Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson is finally going to make that leap back. He's not going to get 2,000. Just forget about that. But he's going to definitely make the leap back. I love their defense because their defense looks like they have a fire in their eyes that they didn't have since, dare I say, Albert Haynesworth was there. As far as who are they playing?
They're playing Pittsburgh, yes.
As far as Pittsburgh goes, I'm not a Todd Haley offense fan at all. he just couldn't do it. He didn't do it in Kansas City with Matt Castle back there. To me, he didn't do it. And I don't think, for some reason, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger even likes the offense. You always hear a little chatter about how him and Todd Haley are not on the same page for some reason. I don't think I don't think Roethlisberger really likes the offense that he's putting out there. Redmond, I feel what you're saying about Redmond, but at this moment, he is their best option. Only reason I did pick him up in a couple of leagues is because they really surprised the hell out of me by letting go of Jonathan Dwyer. I thought Dwyer was the better option, but obviously they saw something that I didn't see with Dwyer not being there. So, Redmond, if you go and get Redmond, hey, that's great. I'm not sold on their two wide receivers yet. I'm really not. The only guy that I love from their team isn't even playing, which is Heath Miller. And that's Roethlisberger. Yeah. I'm not. You've never seen me draft a Pittsburgh wide receiver.
Wow.
I'm not sold on their receivers. Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. When they let go of Mike Wallace, I thought that was like the worst move they could have did because all three of those receivers, don't get me wrong, they do have skills. Mike Wallace was the nine guy, which he's always going to be. Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown, those are the guys that can cut the middle of the field up once Roethlisberger gets them in the rhythm. Now you only have those two. You don't have a nine guy. You see what I'm saying? They really had all three of their receivers were like one Michael Irvin who can do it all over the field.
I have to disagree with you. I really think that definitely think that Antonio Brown can run that nine route along with going. That's the reason why they kept him and re-signed him because he was so versatile in being able to run along and run that nine route and also go over the middle, which Mike Wallace really didn't do. That's why he only ran the nine route because Wallace was limited in doing that. I think that especially Antonio Brown is a lot more versatile than Mike Wallace has ever been. That's why they let him go. Plus the fact is Pittsburgh is a very frugal organization. They'll get the best out of wide receivers or running back, and then when your contract is up, if you're not a versatile player, if you just limited, then you're walking, and they're getting somebody else that's more versatile. And I got Victor back in here. Victor, talk to me.
Well, that's what I heard from Ricky. Here's my take on it. I like the fact that Ricky brought up the Titans wide receivers because that's a good point to bring up. Kenny Britt has been said to have a phenomenal preseason, and he's healthy. That is the key. He is healthy. Kendall Wright gained about 10 pounds of muscle, and he's a pretty good receiver as well, Dwayne Williams or Damian Williams. is suspect right now. I like Isaac Redman for this game. Not at the long term, but for the game. And I agree with Ricky again with Jonathan Dwyer. I don't understand why they released him, but they know something we don't. Where I don't agree with Rick is Antonio Brown is a very versatile receiver, and
yep.
I have confidence in him. The one I don't have that much confidence in is Emmanuel Sanders. He catches with his body too much, but he will go across the middle, and he will crack back. But my biggest point is, will these guys good enough to hold the blocks while they wait for Redmond to come around the corner or going downfield? Mike Wallace was a big body that could do that. Keith Miller's out. He might not be back till week three. So they have another tight end in there who I don't have much confidence in because I don't know him. I think Pittsburgh, and it was said early on in the preseason, Pittsburgh is going to go back to their roots. They're just going to run the rock. And if they're going to run the rock, that's going to tire out Tennessee's defense, which is a good defense. It's not that good. And you're going to see a lot of chuck and duck type offense, a version of the West Coast. I know that's not what Mr. Haley is known for, but I think that's what you're going to have to do. You have to adjust your scheme to your talent. And right now, the talent isn't there to open it up and throw the ball all over the field. You still got Jericho Cotchery there as the number three wide receiver, so that's okay. But Plexico's gone and some other folks, and it's just not, to me, Pittsburgh is playing at home, Tennessee's coming in, and they're going to try some stuff because Munchak's job's on the line, but Pittsburgh is going to win this game easily. They're going to run Redmond into the ground.
If Pittsburgh wins this game, it's not going to be because of their offense. It's going to be that defense that does it. That is just my opinion on it. And
okay.
A healthy Polamalu is what's going to fuel their fire. You know, they love. You know my guy over there, the defensive coordinator, he loves to let Polamalu do his thing. That's what's going to help them win this game, if they win this game. Other than that, I really can't see. I think Tennessee is going to win this.
Let me go and move on to another game with a coach that it may be on a hot seat. And I happen to have a wager on this, so I am definitely keyed in on this team and this game. The Minnesota Vikings visiting the Detroit Lions with all their firepower. Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, and Brandon Pettigrew, and a revamped and improved Detroit defense. Don't get it twisted. Detroit, what their main problem with their defense, they keyed on getting the defense. Two things were wrong with Detroit. Their defense and the parts of the defense that were weak, and also on the offense, their running game. Well, they addressed both of them during the offseason, and I'm looking for an inspired Detroit defense with a newly appointed captain in Dominic Sue. Who that tells me a lot that of the maturity level of in Dominic Sue and of the feeling of the team that they have with the Dominic Sue that they gave him the captain, and the fact is they're going against one of the worst, in my opinion, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in Christian Ponder. The jury's still out on whether Christian Ponder is going to be able to perform the way they drafted him a few years ago. I have no confidence in Christian Ponder. Sure, he may make a few plays there, here and there. He's got AP. You're definitely going to play AP. You definitely play his security blanket, in my opinion, Kyle Rudolph, because that's his security blanket. The jury's out on whether Greg Jennings is going to be able to do anything against this because I think they're going to have a hell of a rush from the Detroit Lions and put a lot of pressure on Christian Ponder, and then he's going to have to make plays. So on one side, I say Kyle Rudolph, Greg Jennings, Greg Jennings, maybe a wide receiver three or something like that, but don't expect too much from him. I really don't expect too much from Cordell Patterson. But AP and Kyle Rudolph I would play. And on the other side, Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, and in a pinch, Brandon Pettigrew. But this is one of the most passing offenses in the league last year, and I don't see anything changing. I think it'd be more dynamic with Reggie Bush back there catching passes from Matthew Stafford out of the backfield. Just because the offense of the Detroit Lions and the skill players of the offense of the Detroit Lions is so much better than the Minnesota Vikings playing a home game. Coach is on a hot seat. Detroit had a horrible season last year. This is one of my sleeper teams, and I really like this team to make a good push for the playoffs. I like the Detroit and all those players. Talk to me, Victor.
Brian, young man, I'm in a pickle in this one game. Because you said you have a wager on it, and that wager is with me, and it's that Detroit won't win more than five games. If they get six, it's a push. If they get seven, you win, which is fine. I'm cool with that. But here's what you fail to realize something. You said it yourself about Detroit. You don't see anything changing. Neither do I. They had firepower last year. Granted, they didn't have Reggie Bush. And I want to point something out to you. Detroit didn't have one sack. The front line, the front seven, didn't have one sack the entire preseason until the third game. And I think that's when they played Geno. I think that's when they played the Jets. So that's a gimme. I can't remember who it is they played, but they didn't have one sack. No. It was against Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's what it was. They didn't have one sack till then. So that pressure you're talking about, I don't know where it is. It might be there, it might not be there. But I tell you what, Christian Ponder's going to surprise people because AP gives him that ability. All he has to do, establish AP, get Kyle Rudolph, and then Cordero and Greg Jennings, and don't forget Jerome Simpson. That's not a bad three set of wide receivers, tight end. And since the fullback is out for 3 weeks, I don't know if they're going to give AP a fullback or not. But I'd go three wide, a tight end, and AP. And I'd make sure that weak secondary of Detroit is exposed. Of course, I'm going to pick Minnesota in this game. And Kyle Rudolph, like you said. If I had to, I would play Christian Ponder because he's going to surprise some people in this game. But I need Detroit to run the score up so I can win in my own fantasy football league. They'll lose. They will lose. But it's only going to be because they're going to have to keep throwing the ball around. As you said, Jerry, they're not going to stop throwing the ball, which is good for me. But that means they're going to be behind. Michael Ashore is not even sure he's going to even get a chance to touch the rock near the goal line. So that's where I'm at with that. And thanks for your money.
Well, their offense is to throw the ball, Victor. So you're saying they're going to be playing from behind. Regardless if they play from behind or not, their offense is throwing the ball. So.
I know.
So anyway, go ahead, Ricky. I'm sorry.
Look, if Detroit wins this game, that means AP had a bad day. And
there you go.
AP owns the NFC North. That's his division. Don't call it black and blue. Call it the AP division, period. He runs all over every team in his division, period. They haven't stopped AP just like Chicago hasn't, just like Green Bay hasn't. There's no way. And I'm going to tell you, this is one thing I just want you to think about. It's going to be a tight game. I think Minnesota wins, and rarely does me and Vic agree on things, but this is what we're going to agree on. But
that's fine.
This is why. Jerome Simpson was brought there last year to be their deep threat. He got hurt. rely on the guy that left to go to Seattle and stayed hurt. You had to rely on Percy Harvin. You had to rely on him. You had to rely heavily on AT. They go and get Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings is versatility. He can go deep. He can go over the middle. Now you have a healthy Jerome Simpson. You have a healthy Greg Jennings. You have the security blanket, Kyle Rudolph. You have the super-duper running back of all time, AT. There's no way that I think, anyway, Detroit, this will be a good game for Ponder. I don't know why you guys think he's trash. He hasn't been up to date, but he hasn't had anybody really to go to. The key people he can go to, they've covered him up real good. But now he has people. So this game right here is really going to define the rest of his season. If he can get past this game with a weak and pathetic secondary that Detroit has possessed for the past 15 years, I'm telling you, it's they're going to build on that playoff appearance from last year. I think Minnesota does win this game. I really do. Detroit needs to find a way to get a pass rush, just like Vic said.
Well, let's go to one bad game to the next. Guys from West Coast go to the Midwest and visit the Indianapolis Colts. I'm talking about the Oakland Raiders, one of the most pathetic teams in there. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I would play one guy from Oakland, two guys, the kicker, Sebastian Janikowski, because he's got a big leg and he's playing inside of a dome. That really doesn't make a difference, but that's just an added feature, tick on his side. And Darren McFadden, because Darren McFadden usually plays well in the first game before he gets hurt sometime after that. And he's going against a defense in the Indianapolis Colts that can be run on. On the other side, Andrew Luck. Vic Ballard, I think he's going to get the most work out of, versus Ahmad Bradshaw. And believe it or not, you pick your poison here. Figure out which one you want, one of these guys you have, because I think they're going to be instrumental in the win. Darius Heyward-Bey, I just say Darius Heyward-Bey because somehow he's found hands in Indianapolis. T.Y. Hilton or Reggie Wayne. Now, Reggie Wayne happens to be the go-to guy for Andrew Luck. And I think both these guys, Reggie Wayne's probably an RB2. T.Y. Hilton and Darius Heyward-Bey are in a wide receiver too. And Darius Heyward-Bey and T.Y. Hilton are probably a 3 or 4. So that's what I see in this. I'm not going to pick a winner. You guys can pick the winners. I'm just picking players. Talk to me, Victor, and then Ricky.
Not a problem. Here's the deal. Player-wise, I think you're right on the money, Jerry. Again, if a person's in a PPR and they're in need of a good quarterback, two, if you start two quarterbacks and you have like a slouch somewhere, hit Terrell Pryor for this game. He's going to be their sole offer. I'm not trying to say Darren McFadden will not be, but you're going to have the dual threat in Terrell Pryor against a Indianapolis defense. I think Indianapolis wins the game, but the Raiders give them more. They cover the spread. They cover that 11.5 point spread. And I think Terrell Pryor is going to have a buck 50 on the ground and maybe a buck 50, a buck 70 in the air. Will it translate to touchdowns? I don't know. I'm not even sure. Is Heyward-Bey the 3 receiver or the 2 receiver in Indianapolis? Because I know Ricky's been following him.
I think he's a 2 receiver. I think T.Y. Hilton's in the slot.
Heyward-Bey, Heyward-Bey's a 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to pay off big dividends because he's probably on a lot of people's waiver wire right now. I know he's on a few of them I was looking at. I didn't need a receiver in those leagues. But that might be a very good pickup to stash just to see how he does in the first couple games. And, again, he's playing against his old team. So they want to say, y'all didn't want to resign? Not a problem. Take this. I see him getting 2 touchdowns. Go ahead, Rick.
I'm going to tell you like this. If Ava Bay is on the waiver wire in any of the leagues that we're in, I messed up my draft. Because you all said it.
50.
I've been plucking this dude in the draft. I don't care if he was after round 10 or around round 16. He's been on my team. I have high hopes for this guy. He found his hands last year in his last year at Oakland, which amazed me. Amazed me. And now you're out here with Andrew Luck, who flourished with T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne. Abel Bates is going to take pressure off of him. I really don't feel as though anybody needs to have Terrell Pryor because, to me, he has security issues. He's not an accurate quarterback. Yes, he brings that double threat to the table of being a runner and a passer, but he's not really that much of a threat to me. I'm looking for McFadden to do better this year because it's a contract year. A lot of players this year are in a contract year, and usually when the contract year comes up, if by some act of God you get hurt, then you don't perform. But other than that, usually they'll perform. I think he's going to perform this year. He may not be there next year. Indianapolis wins it hands down. I don't care if they're going to Oakland or coming to Indy. They're going to win the game. But I just wouldn't go with Terrell Pryor. Just go with the regulars. Go with the regular players.
Okay. All right, let's move on to going down to Carolina, where the Seattle Seahawks visit the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers have been absolutely horrible in the preseason in scoring points, meaning really haven't been struggling to score points. I don't know if it was planned that way. They just want to be vanilla until they unleash their offense in the regular season. But I really have reservations about a Mike Shuler offense. That's who the offensive coordinator is in Carolina. Ron Rivera, he's another one with on a hot seat. And I'll go to the Carolina side since I was talking about them first. Cam Newton didn't have a good game against this crazy good defense in Seattle. I don't think he's going to have a good game, even though it's playing in Carolina. I think it's going to be difficult for any of these players, and including Steve Smith, to get anything done against this pass rush and its pass defense, especially in the secondary. I see the only possible fantasy options that you would have. I mean, quite naturally, you're going to play Cam Newton. Because if you drafted him, you probably drafted him as your number one quarterback. Regardless of what round you drafted him, I would play Cam Newton in this and hope for the best. I do like Russell Wilson in here. I think everyone's thinking about the just like Andrew Luck, thinking about these second-year quarterbacks. Are they going to regress and have that sophomore jinx? I think these quarterbacks that are entering the second year are a very unique bunch. Extremely unique, and I think these guys are going to not regress. I just think gain more experience and get that much better because of their mental attitude that they take toward the game. And Russell Wilson is, in my opinion, one of the most mature young guys at the quarterback position that you've seen in a while. So I like Russell Wilson in this game. Quite naturally, you got to play the beast. You got to play. Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch and Vic will feel beast mode this weekend. And also, this is a guy that I think is going to be playing better because the fact is the number one receiver is still dealing with knee issues. I think Golden Tate is going to have a better game than Sidney Rice in this game. And he had been coming on last year, and I think he's really going to be coming on this year. One of my sleeper picks for a wide receiver is Golden Tate. I'm saying that now. I think he's going to have a, I wouldn't say breakout year, but I think he's going to have a very good year, and this is just going to be the start of it. I'll go to Ricky, then Vic.
Okay. I'm really not a Russell Wilson fan. I know folks like him, and it's not – I don't even think it's Wilson. I just think it's the system because I'm still not a believer in the coach. I never liked Pete Carroll, and I still don't. But we'll see, because this will be year two. So we'll see. If Russell Wilson regresses, it's because the system has caught up with Pete Carroll again. He's a good play. Hands down, Seattle wins this game. They really need Percy Harvin out there. That's just what I think. They need Percy. I'm not a believer in Tate. Sidney Rice, he's going to flourish if he stays healthy. You know, he got knocked around in his career. So if he stays healthy, then he'll be all right. With Beast Mode, there's no reason for me to say anything about that. If you're not playing him and you got him on your roster, you're a fool. And
that's right.
Just like you said, Vic's going to feel Beast Mode. He's also going to feel the wrath of Russell Wilson in this Yahoo when I smack him out, even though I didn't draft Russell Wilson. He was drafted for me, but, you know, this is a perfect match right here for me to get my first $25 off of this year-long bet that we have on every game that is going on. So you'll understand.
Y'all done?
Oh, no,
okay.
No, actually not. You'll lose.
Okay.
Now I'm done.
Anyway, y'all can have beast mode because I'm the beast master, and I'll take care of you little kitty cats as I do everybody else. I'll talk about the game, then I'll address your insolence.
All right, this game, Seattle goes to Carolina. Carolina has had struggles offensively all preseason long.
Yep.
Cam Newton finally got the C on his chest, but I think it's a little too late for that. Also, even though Seattle might be missing their best corner and then I think their outside linebacker for this game, they still win it. Russell Wilson, North Carolina State never should have let Russell Wilson leave. That head coach at North Carolina State, he let his ego and his ability to control the other players get in the way of keeping a talented quarterback. So he went to Wisconsin and flourished and was drafted in the NFL. Mike Glennon, who's now in Tampa Bay, is a product of Russell Wilson leaving, which is fine. But he's going to take this team, and he and Golden Tate have got some type of bond. He goes to Golden Tate first before he goes to anybody else.
Yep.
So Golden Tate is going to have a great year. Will he be a top 10 receiver? I don't know. But you got to factor in the fact that he returned kicks as well. So you got to put that in your equation when you talk about him and his abilities. So
mm-hmm.
I think Seattle wins this game, and I tame both little beasts because one's a little puss and boost beast who only wants to bet in one league. The other is a little pussy beastiality type person because he thinks his team is better than mine, but it's not. Hard work and dedication is going to get him nowhere fast. Beast mode, get in your cage like I did you last year, and just pay the man. That's all I got to say. Moving on.
Okay, moving on. I'll let you have your piece. Don't worry about it. As long as I get paid, I could care less what you say.
Anyway,
let's move on to go down to Southern Florida. And this game, I won't say it's a ho-hum game, but it's part of fantasy, and there's a significant couple of players in here that are going to I think they're all going to make a difference, one way or the other. We're talking about Kansas City visiting Jacksonville. Now, I always said Jacksonville plays better at home, which they do. But they're going against an Andy Reid team, coaching the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time. quite naturally, Jamal Charles is one. You definitely got to play him. I think he's going to run all over Jacksonville. But don't discount Jacksonville's defense. At home, they play very well on defense. But I still think Jamal Charles and his skill set and the offensive scheme of Andy Reid, Jamal Charles is going to have a decent day. Let me put it that way. I see about 80 yards and a touchdown. I'm guaranteeing he gets in the end zone. He's going to catch about 5 or 6 passes. Because that's what happens with Andy Reid running backs. They catch the ball out of the backfield, and he likes his runners in space. And believe it or not, I think Dwayne Bowe is going to have a good game. I'm not saying a breakout game. I'm saying 5 to 6 catches, about 80 yards, and a touchdown. I think Alex Smith is going to target or look for Dwayne Bowe. It may not happen in the preseason, but that could have been pre-planned, okay? He's their go-to main receiver, so Alex Smith is going to be looking for him. On the other side, I'm not saying play Alex Smith unless you're in a two-quarterback league. He's a decent play in this game, but otherwise than that, he sits on your bench and you're playing your main guy. On the other side, Mercedes Lewis is out this week with a calf injury. Blaine Gabbert is listed as questionable, but he was able to practice and is expected to play. Mercedes Lewis was Blaine Gabbert's security blanket, one of them. Cecil Shorts happens to be the other one. The main guy on here is MJD. I drafted him in one league, which I've always said I never have. But you know what? I changed my philosophy up, and I said, you know what? I'm going to win this time and not let somebody else win. I'm going to take it. And I decided to take MJD in this league, and I think he's going to run pretty well through Kansas City, even though they're going to stack the lineup on him. But I think he's still out there to prove a point. He's in a contract year, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's going to be running his ass off also. So with that being said, I'll pass it off to Rick and then give it to Vic.
I don't even know what to say about this game. Everybody's Kansas City. So I have Kansas City winning. But like you said, this defense isn't a slouch at home. Talking about Jacksonville, they don't have I don't know what it is about them. They can't play away, but when they're at home, they definitely do defend that house like they can. They don't win all the time, but they defend that house. They do have a pretty good defense at home. I do like Jamal Charles. I expect him to have a good game, you know, not a breakout like 250, 300 yards or something. I'll give him a buck and a quarter, 2 touchdowns. Alex Smith, he'll have a good game. Like you said, Dwayne Bowe's going to be their guy. The best thing I do like about Kansas City is they took a cluster out of the backfield, which is great, and they need to try to get him in the slot. And if they want to get him involved early. You know, so that's the versatility that Andy Reid brings to that organization is going to be key for them. As far as Jacksonville, I had MJD one season, and that was his rookie year. That was it. I really don't expect him to do too much because Kansas City, to me, their defense is almost like Cleveland to me as far as the versatility that they can bring and the pain that they can bring. And Jacksonville just doesn't have too much on offense that you have to worry about. So they're going to be going and getting on Gabbert often, you know. So I'm looking for Kansas City to just go ahead and solidify their first game win and move to that next week. I don't have anybody on Jacksonville's team to do anything. That's it.
Victor.
MJD will be the only spark plug for Jacksonville other than Paul Pelosi on the defensive side of the ball, along with DeJuan Landry. I like him to be hitting a little bit. But this is the perfect game for Alex Smith. It's perfect because he doesn't have to go deep. He doesn't have to win the game. He can give it to Jamal Charles. A sleeper I like in this game, Fasano. Fasano is going to be a monster with Alex Smith at quarterback. He loves his tight end. I don't know about the wide receivers as much, but Kansas City wins the game, and the sleeper is Tony Fasano, or Anthony Fasano, whatever his name is.
Anthony Fasano. Anyway, let's move on to going down into St. Louis, hosting against the Arizona Cardinals. High hopes for the Arizona Cardinals with a new quarterback, a legitimate quarterback versus what they've had in the past. Larry Fitzgerald was jumping for joy when they acquired Carson Palmer. In this game, St. Louis is going to rush the hell out of a strictly pocket quarterback. Carson Palmer's in a pass-happy offense is going to have to get the ball out quick, early and often. Throwing it to Larry Fitz, and a guy that I think is going to have a very good season is not Andre Roberts, but Michael Floyd. I think under the tutelage of Larry Fitzgerald, this guy is coming on. I think he's going to be the Robin to Larry Fitz, who's Batman again. So I would play Larry Fitz. I'm not too high on Rashad Mendenhall because he's dealing with knee issues as we speak. So I wouldn't rely on him being a consistent factor against this improved St. Louis defense. On the other side of the ball, I see one guy on here that I was consistent last year, and I still think he's going to be consistent because he's playing with the same quarterback, and I'm talking about Chris Givens. He's a big play wide receiver. He had several plays last year of over 50 yards, and I don't see that changing. Now, it's true that we have very good secondaries on both sides of the ball in Arizona and in St. Louis. But I think these quarterbacks are still going to be able to make plays, and it's a wait and see. You know, they didn't do too much in the offseason with this guy, but I think they're going to unleash the beast, so to speak, in seeing what Tavon Austin can do, especially on that turf at the home field. So it's a wait and see on Tavon Austin, but that's how I see it. And another guy here, and this is a sleeper pick in the tight end position. I think Jared Cook, they brought him over here to be that tight end option. Like he got misused in Tennessee, in my opinion, and I think he's going to be used extensively with Sam Bradford. So I like him at definitely as a tight end, and I'll move it to Vic and then Rick.
Okay. Who's St. Louis playing again?
St. Louis is playing the Cardinals.
Arizona.
All right. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Two very good defenses. Very, very good. The Honey Badger, I mean, I have my doubts about him playing cornerback in the NFL because I don't think he's a good man coverage guy. But they line him up in the nickel. They line him up in zone on the outside and stuff like that, which is a good thing here. So I think he's going to be at an improvement, and he's going to give Sam Bradford some scares today. The one thing that I'm not sure about is Daryl Richardson. Is he going to be able to carry the load in this first game? I know Zach Stacy's his backup right now, but next week Isaiah P. comes back, and there's not that much of a difference between the two other than Isaiah P. goes through the hole a lot harder. Richardson is more of the outside guy. I like Arizona to throw the ball around to Fitz and get it to him. And Mendenhall, he's not going to have a good running game because that St. Louis Rams defense is no joke.
Right.
And Carson, he doesn't have the deepest of arms anymore, so I look for medium or intermediate passes from him. He can still get it downfield, don't get me wrong. He still can, but I think Fitz is going to have a good game. But I look for St. Louis to open up and carry a pass in a 21-17 type game. That's what I see. Go ahead, Jerry. I mean, Rick.
I really look for this year to Carson have. Carson will probably have his best year this year that he's had in a while. You know, the fact that he's got a couple of receivers out there and Fitz and Michael Floyd and, you know, Andre Roberts. He's going to have a better season than he's had since, I guess, that injury that he's had way back in, like, year two of Cincinnati. That's the only thing. If he has a good passing game, I think that's what will open it up a little bit for Mendenhall. Like you say, the jury is probably out on him because of the knee issues. I'm really looking for Arizona to do it. As far, it's going to be a close game. I'm looking for them to win this game. As far as St. Louis goes, like you said, I do like Isaiah Peach because he hits that hole harder, but we got to wait until next week to see. Richardson, we're going to have to wait and see on him. And Bradford, I kind of want to say the jury's out on Bradford also because he's been there, what is this, his third year now? Third or fourth year?
Fourth year.
See, and he hasn't, you know, he hasn't produced, but at the same time, you can make a case that he hasn't had the people there. So they put a couple pieces around him now, and it's really going to tell if he can go ahead and do his thing. This is going to be like a defensive game because both of these defenses are, there's a lot of hype on these defenses. Both of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these defenses are great. So I'm definitely looking for Arizona, though, to win this game. Just on the fact that Carson Palmer, I think this is going to be his resurgence year right here. Another quick update off that subject. Roddy White is going to start. So it's etched in stone now. Once again, he hasn't missed a game in his career, and he will not.
Right.
Three-headed wide receiver tandem that I'm about to lay on Vic is just going to kill him.
I hear you. Lay it on him, man. Lay it on him. Anyway, let's move on to another heavyweight game. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers hosting the San Francisco. The San Francisco 49ers hosting the Green Bay Packers. A replay of last year's game when Colin Kaepernick ran roughshod over the Green Bay Packers. Supposedly they spent the week at a college had to try to learn to defend the read option. I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers. And there's also been some controversy with Mr. Harbaugh, the coach of the coach of the 49ers, about gray area, about a read option quarterback and what's legal and what's not. So we have two quarterbacks. Two different type of quarterbacks. One quarterback is a prolific passer and sometimes runner. The other one can do, I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick, can do running and passing probably equally. And both of them are very good leaders on both their teams. One has a better running game, meaning the 49ers, with Frank Gore versus trying to establish a running game, meaning the Ed Lacy and the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, on the Green Bay Packers side, one way or the other, I would play these wide receivers, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Jordy Nelson, and especially my man crush tight end, JerMichael Finley. I think all four of these guys, Aaron Rodgers gets the ball out to them consistently. Who gets the touchdown is really a flip of the coin. James Jones led the league last year in 14 touchdowns from a wide receiver. I think he's going to possibly, and I'm just speculating here, he's not going to get a touchdown. I'm looking for a Randall Cobb to get that touchdown because I think his role is going to be more expanded because of Greg Jennings leaving. So I think Randall Cobb is going to be I wouldn't say go-to because Jordy Nelson was basically a go-to wide receiver before he had health issues last year. So, like I said, Alex Smith gets the ball around. I mean, Aaron Rodgers gets the ball around. So, any one of those players that you have on your team, I would suggest you putting in, because I think they're going to be effective, even though San Francisco is a hell of a defense. I still think they're going to be effective in this game. On the other side, I have Colin Kaepernick in a few of my leagues, and I'm absolutely playing him this because I think he's going to rush for a touchdown, throw for a touchdown. I love Frank Gore. Read option always is beneficial to the running back, and Frank Gore is still a high-end running back. And Anquan Boldin is probably the go-to along with Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis this past offseason has spent most of his time running with the wide receivers versus the tight end, learning how to better effectively run his routes. So he, look for Vernon Davis to be a wide receiver slash tight end in this offense. With that being said, I'm going to go to Vic and then Rick.
All right, all right, all right. I guess y'all going to learn today. Kaepernicking. Here's the problem I see in this game. Matthews and Harbaugh going back and forth. Harbaugh is trying to get the coach, the referees, to pay close attention to his quarterback because of what Matthews said. They're going to hit him every time, regardless if he has the ball or not. Aaron Rodgers said this yesterday. He has not had the best of protection over the past couple years. So be careful what you wish for. Rodgers likes to run the ball too. He might get nailed a few times, and then what's going to happen to Green Bay? Who's the backup? Some dude they brought in like 2 weeks before the season started? I don't think so. Jordy Nelson, he's slated to play. Will he have a good year this year? You know, that's another question because Randall Cobb has stepped up and is going to be Mr. Everything for them. Again, if San Fran's defense doesn't step up in the red zone versus a five-wide set, it might be the Green Bay win. But I'm going to pick San Fran to win this game. Jordy Nelson is somebody I'm looking at. Since Jerry's in love with JaMychal Finley again, I tell everybody, bench him, trade him, get rid of him, because he's like a girl in the backyard. I'm just telling you, whenever
Rick,
he has a man crush on Finley, it's over.
Ray, you know what? I'm on the Finley bandwagon this year. I'm not gonna lie. I feel you on Jerry because every time Jerry picks a tight end, they do go down and play. But I think this year he's dead on with Finley. Finley came back in camp, put on muscle. The boy looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I really expect him to have a good year this year.
Contract year.
A lot of people, yeah, and it's a contract year. Once again,
yep.
Like I said, these folks with these contract years, they know how to play when it's time to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people are banking on Randall Cobb and James Jones heavy, but it's going to be some disappointment there because, of course, before they even hit, Jordy was that guy that
right.
He can go to. I think Jordy's still going to have a good year because now if you look at the receiving core, I think Jordy probably moves to that one spot and James Jones is going to move to the two. Remember, James Jones just got hands a couple years ago too. He couldn't
mm-hmm.
catch it before that. So he just got his hands. Randall Cobb, he's going to have a decent year. I love Eddie Lacy. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just going to be a matter of time before this boy comes out there and looks like Trent Richardson from Alabama. Eddie's going to do his thing. He's aggressive.
Yep.
He hits that hole. He loves to spin, which is, I think, going to hurt him a little bit because he may spin a little too much. But the boy is aggressive. He's very aggressive. Harbaugh is, like you said, he's lobbying these referees to look at this rule that they put in about this read option for the quarterback. He wants clarification on it. And I think it's because Harbaugh knows he has to move his tight end to wide out until they get Crabtree back because they don't have anybody after Anquan Boldin. So, in a way, it's going to hurt him. You know,
Jonathan Baldwin.
Did John Baldwin do anything in Kansas City? All right, that's all. You know, I think Green Bay is going to – this is going to be a shootout for Green Bay, not for San Fran. San Fran is going to rely heavy on that run game, and they're going to hope that Bolden is giving them yards in chunks. But I'm looking for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers seems like he always does have a good game in San Fran, except when the playoffs come. So I'm really looking for Green Bay to win this game, though.
Okay. Let's go down to the big star. Two of your guys' favorite teams are going up against each other. We're going down to Dallas, where MetLife Stadium 2 is for the New York Giants. Going against the Dallas, they're 4-0. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. Dallas looks like they've fixed their defense. They've been pretty stingy in the preseason with their defense, and I think they're going to carry it over to a suspect defensive and offensive team in the Giants. I still would play David Wilson without a doubt. He's going to be the bell cow. He's going to be the man. As long as he holds on to the ball, I see him running very well against his Dallas defense. They have two very good wide receivers with a very decent tight end. I'm talking about the wide receivers of Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks. As long as Hakeem Nicks is healthy, I've done it in a few leagues, and I suggest anyone that has roster space grab Ruben Randall. For the simple fact is, I don't think Hakeem Nicks is going to be healthy all year, even though he's in a contract year also. But he's a Mr. Brittle among wide receivers, so I don't think he's going to be able to stay healthy all year, and Ruben Randall is a very good fill-in, and he did do a lot of work with Eli Manning over the offseason, so Eli Manning has no reservations about throwing to Ruben Randall. And Eli Manning always has a nice security blanket in the tight end. Martellus Bennett left and went to Chicago. They picked up one from Oakland, Brandon Myers. He's not a big runner after the catch guy, but he does know how to get open. And he'll be targeted near the goal line also, in a red zone. And I like Brandon Myers to be catch a touchdown in this. Along the other side of the ball, you know, you got one of the best, and Ricky knows this, one of the best regular season and in fantasy quarterbacks in the NFL, in Tony Romo. And these two wide receivers are no joke. Now, Miles Austin has had hamstring and leg issues over the last few seasons, but when he's healthy, he can be a beast and a problem. Against the weakened secondary, I think these two wide receivers, Miles Dawson and Dez Bryant, are going to go the off. I don't think the Giants can keep up with him, and I haven't even mentioned Jason Witten, who happens to be Tony Romo's security blanket. So I think that 4-0 record that the Giants have over the Cowboys in their own stadium is going to go bye-bye. I'm calling this game. I think Giants are definitely going to lose this game. I think there's a renewed confidence in the Dallas Cowboys, and they have a lot of offensive weapons that I think the Giants can't keep up with. I'm going to Rick and then Vic.
I don't know, man. They've already dealt that slap house. So, that's going to be a good game. My guy, I hate to say that because I can't stand the cowgirl, but Romo is, you know, during the season, that's my guy. I'm not going to lie. That boy, he can put up some numbers, man. He can definitely put up numbers. Between him, another one I'm looking to have a good year this year with no injury, DeMarco Murray. I know a lot of people may not even look at him, but he's another one. He's going to have a pretty good season this year. Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, of course, Jason Witten is the obvious. He's the obvious one. As far as the Giants go, I like David Wilson, but I like Andre Brown a little better. He's not there. So we're going to see what David Wilson can do. Victor Cruz is only going to flourish if Hakeem Nicks or Ruben Randall flourishes. So one of them has to be out there. And that new Cowboys Tampa 2, I call it the Dallas 2, that's going to be a defense to mess with right there. I think the Giants can still pull this out, though.
All right. I don't like the Cowboys, as anybody listening to any of our programs knows, but I'm picking them to be number 2 in the NFC this year.
Put it down.
Right behind the Redskins. And with that being said, I agree with Jerry. The curse is broken. AT&T Stadium, no longer Jerry's house, will have a winner in it tonight. The thing is, this can be a shootout, because I see David Wilson getting around that edge and just going. Nobody's going to catch that kid if he gets around the edge. With DeMarcus Ware coming off the edge in a three technique or a four technique, that means that outside linebacker, whoever it is going to have to come down and take on that full back and then get to David Wilson. And that kid's quicker than a hiccup. So I like it. Miles Austin is going to destroy their middle of the field along with Jason Witten. I think Ogletree or whoever it is on the other side of Austin, because it's going to be the starters, is Bryant and Austin. But when they go three wide, Austin goes to the slot. I think Ogletree takes the X or Z spot. But it's going to be a fun game. And I'm picking the Cowboys.
All right, let's move on to another one of your favorite NFC East teams, and your favorite NFC East teams. We're going to Monday Night Football. Prime time, first game out of the chute on Monday night, Philadelphia Eagles against the Washington Redskins in Washington. Robert Griffin III finally getting a chance to play, and it's only a regular season against Michael Vick in a new Chip Kelly-type offense. Man, where do I start in this game? Where do I start? Let me start on the Eagles side. Michael Vick, rejuvenated, reincarnated, whatever you want to call him, in this made-for-Michael-Vick type of offense with LeSean McCoy, and the wide receivers, Jason Avant and Riley Cooper, who got into a fist fight with one of his teammates this past week, and DeSean Jackson, along with their tight end, Brent Celek. Now, in a Chip Kelly type of offense, the tight end is a viable option, and Michael Vick, over the last few years, has used Brent Celek as a viable option. So I see him getting into the end zone along with the long ball threat of DeSean Jackson. I also see LeSean McCoy getting into the end zone. So that's three touchdowns right there. I don't see Michael Vick running for a touchdown. I see him throwing for two. This is going to be a offensive game. I don't think there's too much defense going to be able to play in this game because the type of offense each one of these teams plays. I see Robert Griffin III not running as much as people think, staying back in the pocket and throwing a couple touchdowns, one to Pierre Garçon and one to his other wide receiver, Santana Moss. And with Alfred Morris also joining in the fun. So it's a tight game, probably a field goal type of game, but there's fantasy goodness to go around in wide receiver, the quarterback, and the running back position on both teams. I'll give it to it doesn't make a difference. Both of you guys are Redskins fans. I give it to Rick and then Vic.
People thought I was crazy when I told them this, but I seriously think that Robert Griffin is going to have 5,000 yards passing this season. If you look at all of the weapons that the Skins have on offense, Garson, Santana, Aldrick Robinson, you got Alfred Morris, you got Roy Helu, and you got Fred Davis, and you got Paulson. It's no reason for him to run this year. No reason. He's going to run, But you won't see that 871, or you won't see those 100 and some odd carries. He's going to show you why he's a prolific passer. He's very prolific. I'm looking for him to throw at least 3 touchdowns. And this is going to be a great game. This is going to be a very good game right here. Of course, I'm going to pick the Skins to win. Don't get me wrong, Michael Vick's going to have a good game, too. He did look good in this high-tempo offense, so he's going to have a good game. But I just think the Skins are going to, of course, they're going to take it.
Okay, Vic.
All right, here's the deal, people. You've got 2 very, very, very good teams here. I think Philly's going to be a good team, but I think the turmoil on that team is going to cause them to spiral downward. That's the only thing. What's going to happen is, and y'all can hate me saying it, but Riley Cooper's going to show his butt. Riley Cooper and DeSean Jackson are going to go deep on us, and they're going to be successful. The difference here is that Alfred Morris is going to run all over that defense. And then Pierre Garçon, and then Santana Moss, and Aldrick will show up. The problem I have is that they switch out their receivers way too much for Robert to have any consistency with any of them, other than Pierre, because he's the only one that does not get switched out. Or he's on the field 80% of the time on offense. Another player I would really say look out for is Fred Davis in this matchup. Fred is a big threat in the red zone, him and Paulison. So if they're not running it in, they're going to get it to one of those big boys right there to score. But I look for a ground and pound game. I don't think he's going to throw for 5,000 yards this year, only because if he's throwing for 5,000 yards, we're not running the ball.
Okay.
We're not running the ball. We're throwing for 5,000 yards. So I'm picking the Skins.
Okay, we got about less than 3 minutes in this, so I want to get this last game in because it happens to be my team. All right, we're talking about the Houston Texans going to San Diego and playing the San Diego Chargers, who have a lot of problems. I like 3 guys in here. I like Arian Foster. I know Ben Tate's going to be sharing the ball with Arian Foster, but I do like Arian Foster. Horse doesn't really change his colors as much. I think Gary Kubiak, once he sees Arian Foster's all right, he's going to be able to run him like he wants to. I also see Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels having a good game in here. And the debut of Mr. DeAndre Hopkins, also as a number 2 wide receiver, should have a good. I don't see anything good on the other side of the San Diego Chargers side. I don't like the running backs, and I don't like the wide receivers. I think Philip Rivers is going to have a hard time getting the ball downfield, and he's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. I'll go to Rick, and then Vic. We got to end this real quick.
It's really nothing for me to say. Houston, hands down. If you got Foster, I don't draft him. He got drafted for me, but if you got him, play him. And DeAndre, that's my sleeper, DeAndre.
All right, in this game, Houston will win all the way, but a sleeper, Danny Woodhead, because you're going to see Matthew. He's going to be the same old, but Danny Woodhead is going to be the sleeper or the factor in this game, but Houston's going to win it big time.
All right, guys, I want to thank you for listening. People who listened all this time, it's been about a 2-hour show. I want to thank Rick and Vic for joining me. I want to say good luck to both of them, whether they're going up against me or who's going up against each other or whoever they're going up against. Good luck. Hopefully we don't get any of our players, major players, hurt the first week, which is a real big bummer. Enjoy the games for today. Enjoy the game tonight, and especially enjoy the games on the 2 ones on Monday night. They should be 2 exciting games. Until next Thursday on the FSP Crew Show, this is Jerry, and I can't wait. Football's here. We're out.
Let's get it started in here.